This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Greg Hill Morning Show with your host, Greg Hill. Streaming live from WEEI.com and the Radio.com app. And now, it's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show on Sports Radio WEEI.
This is Paul from Quincy. What's up, Paul?
Hey, good morning, everyone.
What's happening?
Greg, you don't need that Peloton bike. You know what would be a good look for you is that one of those bikes from the 20s with the big giant wheel in front? As you're talking in your transatlantic voice?
Yes.
Singing raindrops keep falling on my head. I can't get over how different Rob Ninkovich sounds since he stopped working for the Patriots. No knock on the Patriots, but when you used to talk to him when he was still working for the Patriots, he sounded like Mel Gibson being visited by the princess just before his execution in Braveheart. And now he's like, I feel pretty, oh so pretty.
Yeah, I mean, it's freeing. I believe with it, when you leave the organization, you feel a little bit freer.
Yeah. But anyway, I had what I hope is not a prophetic obscure reference regarding all the Tom Brady talk.
Yes.
The last scene, Nick Nolte's monologue at the end of North Dallas 40. The team! We're not the team. They're the damn team. We're just the equipment.
I understand that Nick and others are in an absolute panic over the fact that Tom Brady may not be here. But isn't that what, I mean, that's what happens. I mean, Larry Bird. I mean, you name Ray Bork. I mean,
right.
It didn't end well when it came to Ray Bork.
And none of them were Tom Brady. Sorry. Ray Bork, all-time great. Larry Bird, probably the greatest Celtic of all time. They're not Tom Brady.
And think about the amount of audience Brady reaches versus those athletes. The Patriots games do 40s every Sunday. The entire region is watched every pass this guy's thrown. I started watching him. He took the field my senior year of high school. I've been an adult the entire time with the greatest quarterback playing for this team. I mean, it's going to be a massive adjustment for this team.
Well, that's liberal use of the word adult, but that's fine. But no, okay, I'm 45, Curtis. Brady has been quarterbacking the Patriots for 18 years. 40% of my life, 40% of my so-called adult life has been spent in adoration and worshiping at the feet of Tom Brady. This is a whole part of your life. This is a massive chunk of what everyone has done here for now literally decades.
It's football. It's sports. I mean, you knew it was, didn't you know it was going to happen?
Yes, meals finish. Your kids grow up. We all die. It doesn't mean I have to look forward to it.
And there's a personal relationship because the people here took his back when he was ruined and scarred by Goodell with Deflategate. There was a real unique relationship that was bonded throughout that I think even adds on top of his greatness, on top of the fact that he's the greatest quarterback in the history of the league. That sort of relationship that was forged through that is also something in this.
So do you think that there are fans who believe that they had his back during Deflategate and therefore he ought to take whatever the organization is willing to pay him for another couple of years?
I think the fans were paid back in Super Bowl 51 when they were down 28-3 and he came back and won and then won another. I don't think he owes the fans anything. I mean, if they're being logical, he doesn't owe them anything.
That's also a stretch asking Pats fans to be logical, but I am one of them. I know this for a fact. Sorry. Logic and Pats fandom don't go too well together. But that's all right. We apologize for nothing.
Here's a texter asking if Rob Ninkovich was Rob Ninkovich talking about Andrew Luck as if Andrew Luck would come out of retirement to play here. Is that what Rob Ninkovich was that? Was
There's
that
some
Ninkovich
belief.
Or was that a caller? Was that
no?
Ninkovich?
That was Ninko who said, "Who would you rather have for your quarterback for the next 3 years, Tom Brady or Andrew Luck?" I don't think he's speaking directly to Andrew Luck returning to the NFL with any knowledge, but there has been speculation since he announced his since he was forced to announce his retirement at the end of a preseason game in August that maybe taking a year off would give him the chance to heal up, realize he misses the game, and come back. But this could be another case of, just like when Curtis said, sure, Belichick will trade the rights to Gronk to Miami and build his own worst enemy. I'm sure the Colts would say, guy, we're fine, of course, by all means. Here, what kind of deal do you want us to work out to New England so you can be Tom Brady's successor? Please allow us. It would never happen. Never.
Never?
Never.
Never say never.
Don't quote Bad Bond films.
Never say never. Let's see. Tom Brady Sr. in 2015 said it will not end well. Yeah, but, I mean, that's just, you're looking at the egos that are involved. You're looking at the, there's been a love relationship with Tom Brady, between Tom Brady and the fans, that has been like nothing probably ever has been or will be.
And you can maybe go back to the Butler benching and say that's why we're here, because if they hadn't benched Butler and Brady wins that and last one, he's probably retired right now doing TB12 in New York. So it's all Belichick's fault anyway.
Boy, you couldn't get through that sentence fast enough just in case someone caught you by the tail. So it's all his fault. Epstein killed himself.
Let's see. Here's a text that says, when Tom Brady retires, it'll be like when Forrest Gump stopped running. Well, I mean, there's going to be a lot of people who don't know what to do.
Right.
Like when Tom Brady is not your quarterback, there's going to be a lot of people who... Who don't
can't function.
Who don't know what to do.
Don't know.
I think it's going to be exciting. I mean, I think you're going to have a, what if Bill Belichick is able to, whether it ends up being Stidham or whomever, is able to do the same exact thing that he's done with Tom Brady.
See, you're doing what Fitzy's doing. You're starting to latch onto the Belichick method now. This is the new...
There it is.
Start the hump Belichick's leg.
I have never been in any sort of relationship where somebody has just twisted my words more than with you, the Kenspiracist, and how you take...
You've ripped Brady every day for a week.
By the way, Ken, how have we gone the whole entire program without you mentioning that Def Leppard is playing at Fenway Park?
I played Poison coming back, and you blew past that. But it's not only Def Leppard. It's Def Leppard.
Motley Crue.
Motley Crue, Poison, yes. And Joan Jett.
And Joan Jett.
That is a foursome.
Oh,
I mean, it's kind of sad in a way. It's like they all used to rock stadiums alone, and now they're having a band together.
Right.
But that's what we're left with.
Well, you better start putting your daughter in the car seat early so you get to that one on time. You don't want to miss.
Well, that was unwarranted.
We
are going to make the jingle all the way together, my daughter and I, Saturday.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I'm going to make it out.
Oh, all right. Pretty, good.
You told me I can bring her out. That's good. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kids things.
You're going to leave her in the car seat?
Aunt Danielle, we'll watch her for a bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Danielle.
You'll be able to.
Just let sleeping dogs lie.
No, I have to poke.
You'll be able to see. Nick is one of those hardo runners. You'll be able to see
keeping her
him.
Away from Nick.
What is there, a sign on my front lawn? I have two kids of my own, you jerk.
He's one of these people who runs by you. I'm a runner in the loose sense of the word.
Yeah.
And so I don't like when people try to talk to me when I'm running because I can't physically, I can't physically talk.
They're like, hey, what's going on?
I know.
You're going to PR today? And you're like...
No, I can't physically do it. I can barely, I'm going to have to run, walk the thing anyway, because I've done no training.
Right.
3 miles. I literally might die during the thing on Saturday morning. Like, I literally may die.
Do you have your affairs in order?
I do have my affairs in order. I've alerted the Bolton Fire Department that they may need to have extra paramedics on hand on Saturday. Nick is one of these people who goes trotting by you, and then he turns around and runs backward a little bit.
He's a Brady hater, too.
Yep.
I think I want my daughter to be around then.
Yep. This is the show where being in shape, or at least being fit, is held against you.
Nick's the kind of guy that runs to the 5K.
Yes, of course he is.
When it's a local 5K,
it's a warm up.
Runs. Right. Yeah.
I walk to work, you jerks.
Right. He runs out there just repeating, this is the way, over and over and over again. That's what he does.
I have spoken.
Yes. This is Steve in the car. Steve, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, can I take a poll of you guys? What's an acceptable record for a first season without Brady? Like, is it 8-8, or do we, if we don't win the Super Bowl, it's a bad year?
That's a great question. I mean, I don't know. I would expect that you'd look at 8-8, I guess, without him as being a pretty good year.
You use the 2008 standard, Steve. They went 11-5. Now, granted, that was a much better
Castle.
Team. They were loaded on, coming off of Super Bowl 42, but I'd say 10-6.
10-6?
10-6. One game off the 2008 standard.
4-12 without Brady.
Perfect.
Oh, it is. I mean, it's for a lot of people, it's going to be the end of the world. Hello. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how are you?
What's up, Jeff?
It's not the end of the world. I've been a Pats fan when they stunk and when they've, you know, formed a dynasty. So when Tom Brady retires, it's all right. We will live. We will get through it.
I don't know.
I don't know if we will, Jeff.
There's a lot of people who are going to have trouble, I think.
Fitzy's got a parade plan.
Oh, man, the one thing I can't do, the guy who named his first kid after Tom Brady, is wait to see that bum get out of town. Oh, when will he leave?
What will be worse for you, when Tom Brady leaves or retires, or when they kill off Baby Yoda?
This is the way.
What's happening?
What nightmare scenario? Can we restart the machine? This is because it's in nightmare mode right now.
Nightmare. No Baby Yoda. No Tom Brady in a Patriots uniform.
I had to relocate my kids from living in Brooklyn just to guarantee they wouldn't be Giants or Yankees fans. Now this, jeez.
By the way, if Nick has a parade, does that mean we can expect Don Sweeney will fire Bruce Cassidy during that time?
Probably will.
I don't need any more parades. I already rode a duck boat. I'm good.
He probably will. All right, someone who will most likely not be upset should Tom Brady retire or be playing elsewhere is our next guest, and Nick Wright from FS1 will join us next.
Bill Belichick joins OMF this Monday after the game. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reclaim money spent on programs not meeting your expectations. Present your receipt and you'll get a $100 Davio's gift card when starting Awaken 180. See website for details. Now, I've been writing Fitzy today about being negative about Brady. This was how you started the show, though, today, Fitzy. You called Brady weird for this clip. This was from the E! Network in the room with host John Kennedy last night.
What did Giselle think about the place?
She's a great client of ours. You know, she's in here a lot. She's the one that pushes the limits, and she works out really hard. You know, but she needs this treatments as well, too. She needs a lot of the pliability training because she does. She wants to be so active.
Let me just state clearly that I root for Tom Brady with the Tom Cruise principle. Tom Cruise is the weirdest person on planet Earth. I don't care what he does with his private life so long as he hangs off the sides of Airbuses and skyscrapers and Mission Impossible movies. I am good with his weirdness. Same with Brady.
But what makes him weird? I mean,
right.
Just
what's weird
because
about
he's
that?
Positive? I mean,
your wife's a listener. You call her a listener. He calls his wife a client.
Greg.
What?
Bro.
What? What is weird?
Why do you hate Tom Brady so much?
What's weird about? I mean, the guy's positive. He's mindful.
You're right.
He's mindful.
You know what? It's not you. It's me. It's not you. It's me. Tom, sorry, buddy. It's right. It's me. It's me. I hate myself. I'm an effing idiot. I'm an idiot.
Wiggy tonight with Mutt at the On Deck Encore Casino On Deck Burger Bar. That'll be from 6 to 8, and then we'll have Week 14 in the NFL courtesy of Westwood One. And Tom Brady was scratchy, we think, at halftime tonight. Dallas and Chicago. Patriots and Chiefs 425. First injury report had several limited. Ted Karras missed the session. And no kicker yet. They put a claim in on Chase McLaughlin, the kicker released by the Niners, but he is going to the Colts. They had a higher spot in the claim process. Celtics beat the Heat 112-93. They'll host Denver Friday. That was a sneaky good win over the Heat. Miami somehow has been like a really good team.
Yeah, they've been great. I'm telling you, the Celtics team is fantastic.
They are impressive.
Find a way to win. Find a way to get
it done. No Marcus Smart, and they won last night. Yeah. Keep rolling. And the Bruins, of course, are surging as well. They're going for 9 in a row tonight against the Hawks. And you will be there, Hillman, tonight? Yes?
Yeah, absolutely. Right. And I think I'm going to go to the...
Vodka Chug?
I've switched it up. I'm doing the Truly,
Truly Chug.
Probably between second and third period. Should they need it? Should they require it?
Beautiful. We'll talk to Nick Wright coming up on the Greg Hill Show.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Back to the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Our next guest hates our city, hates our sports teams, all of them, hates our quarterback, loves the Kansas City Chiefs, and I believe that out of love, Ken and Curtis put together a montage of some of Nick Wright's more compelling comments. Let's take a listen to those before we get him on the show.
Brady's only path is to be carried by the defense. You saw the Pats scheme their way to a win where through three quarters, Brady wasn't super sharp. Through three quarters, this wasn't the Tom Brady proving he's the GOAT versus Aaron Rodgers. Their quarterback and their passing game is the biggest weakness on their team. But how much of that was Tom Brady deteriorating? Can we show America if Dee Ford wasn't offsides what Tom Brady's stat line for this game would have been? Because it would not have been the stuff of legends. One touchdown, three picks, a pick in the end zone, a pick to end the game, and a 63 rating. I am not a Tom Brady skeptic on what he's accomplished. He is the greatest quarterback ever, and he's lapped the field at this point. But there are lucky bounces. I have been 100% correct on this Patriots team. That was when this dynastic Brady-Belichick run ended.
Nick Wright, why do you hate Tom Brady?
Oh, you know, it's so funny. I thought I was coming on to talk about Jaylen Brown's 31 points because I did once call him a homeless man's Kawhi Leonard. Hi, guys. How are you? And you said I hate all your teams. I got nothing against the Bruins. I had no problem with the Bruins. I don't hate Tom Brady. I read the Tom Curran column, as I'm sure you guys have discussed.
Yeah.
And I think he raises some really good points about how disrespected Brady was by the team in the contract talks this offseason. And so when Brady's a Charger next year, I'm excited to listen to the Jared Stidham weekly interview with you every Monday morning, Greg. But to your question, I just don't think he's good anymore.
Yeah,
and we blame every. Oh my God, they lost their center, and all the only weapons he has are a first round running back and a first round wide receiver, and they traded a second round pick for another wide receiver. How do you expect him to compete? And I watch the games, and I say, oh, you know, he's the greatest 42-year-old we've ever seen at the position, but that's because we've never seen someone at the position at his age. And I just don't think he's very good anymore. And I think Pat fans, as much as it hurts their heart, they know that too.
Interesting. Nick, my name is Nick as well, and I don't want to engage in any Nick on Nick. Good morning. I don't want to engage in any Nick on Nick crime this early in the morning. A lot of my best friends are actually Chiefs fans, so I'm pretty well versed in all things KC. I understand your love for KC, and I know you're just talking about what you feel, and this is not the Butthurt Brigade, but I heard you yesterday on First Things First talking about how you think it's ridiculous. You're saying, like, oh, they lose their center, and, oh, you know, like, how can you tell me when you were talking to Mangini that losing a fullback could be such a big deal to their offense? Mm-hmm. We just had former Pats defensive end Rob Ninkovich on the show a half an hour ago, and he knows a little bit about the Patriots and football. And he said the worst thing that could have happened to this team is losing James Devlin, their fullback. So I'd like to see how you feel about that.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. I think that teams with very limited quarterbacks and passing attacks need a fullback. Like, hey, I'm just curious. Who was the fullback for the 07 Pats or the 2011 Pats? Or the damn 2017 Patriots when Tom Brady won league MVP. who were the great fullbacks on those teams? You guys played a clip of me talking about Aaron Rodgers. Who's the fullback? I remember that the Packers once had a guy named John Kuhn. I feel like I only remember that because the fans would chant his name and it felt a little awkward to me. Like the great fullbacks of the Peyton Manning Colts era. Like, you're right. Having blocking tight ends and a great offensive line and a fullback are critical components to teams who cannot air it out. I feel like that is proving my point that losing James Devlin is devastating. Losing your kicker, I think, was an underrated moment of the year. You guys have gone a quarter century of uninterrupted Hall of Fame production from Vinatieri to Gostkowski at kicker, and now a team that really needs, as you guys know it, great special teams, doesn't have a competent kicker. With that said, if the damn Colts cut Vinatieri and you guys pick him up and he reactivates his clutch gene, I am going to be out of my damn mind, and I already see it happening. But, yeah, that's the long answer to your question about why James Neckroll Devlin is so important to the Patriots.
But, when you say Tom Brady is just not good, you're talking about a Super Bowl-winning quarterback just months ago. Can you not buy that the personnel is an issue for him? And you know, you look at Gronk not being there. You look at what they gave him to work with. Don't you think that has more of an effect on what you're seeing than his physical ability?
So I think it is. I think both things can be true. I think you are that, first of all, they won the Super Bowl last year. I believe they scored one touchdown in that Super Bowl. You guys can correct me. I feel like that was a defense-dominated victory. But Brady did something that, to his credit, even at this stage of his career, he continues to be able to do, which is manage the game beautifully and not make the critical mistake. And so that is something when Peyton Manning was at this phase of his career in 2015, by the way, that team won the Super Bowl, he wasn't able to do that. He had 9 touchdowns to 17 picks. He was an absolute train wreck.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not arguing Brady's a train wreck, and I'm not arguing he has elite weapons all over the field. What I am arguing is that when I watch these games, it is everyone's fault but Tom's. When I watch these games and Tom throws an incomplete pass by 15 yards, I hear my friend Tony Romo wax poetic about that's part of what makes him great.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's part of what makes him old. And the reason Tom Brady is so important at this point of his career to have guys like Edelman who will be in the exact right spot is his brain hasn't atrophied at all. Like, he's obviously still maybe the smartest quarterback in the league. So on intermediate routes, if you are exactly where you need to be, he can, I believe, still get you the football most of the time. But if there is any freelancing or any adjustment needed, he doesn't have the ability anymore. Oh. And there's no shame in that. Like, being the greatest of all time does not mean you are the greatest every year. Now, the greatest basketball player of all time, LeBron James, still is. But at one point, he won't be. And so, I'm very curious if I would love to see how some of these Patriot, like the people that don't want to believe it with Tom, what the reaction was. Like when Kareem, and you guys know this as Celtic fans, Kareem in the late 80s, was he still the GOAT? Well, he was the GOAT at the time, but he wasn't even one of the two best players on his own team. Like,
right.
These things happen, yeah. And I feel like that's where we're at with Brady.
But we don't need him to be the greatest player at his position. I mean, obviously at his position on the Patriots, but the Patriots, what they're doing is they're proving that they don't need him to be the Tom Brady of 2007 or the Tom Brady of 2010. They don't need Tom Brady to be the Tom Brady of his reputation and his double Hall of Fame career. They just need him to be the Tom Brady of now, which is good enough when, on the road in harsh climate conditions in a hostile environment, complete 3 third and tens in overtime and win an AFC championship they had no shot to win.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, by the way, No. And those third and tens will rip my heart out, I would say, for the rest of my life. but really just until the Chiefs beat them in the divisional round of the playoffs this year, the 3-2 in Foxborough. Mm-hmm. But even then, it'll still rip my heart out because it was a Super Bowl we left on the table, we being Kansas City. Here's the thing.
Okay.
I don't think New England is drawing dead to win the Super Bowl. I think they are going to have to follow the path those 2015 Broncos did, which is an overwhelming defensive performance. To me, the bigger concern for New England is through 2 months, this looked like a historically great defense. And the last month, it's looked like a top two defense in the NFL this year. And I don't think that's good enough given the limitations on offense. You say you don't need Brady to be great. They've played three teams right now that are above 500. The first one was Buffalo. They needed a blocked punt to win that game. They scored 16 points. The second one was Baltimore. Baltimore beat them twice, once to get up 17-0, and then once after the Patriots tied the game. And Houston, who they were down 19 points in the fourth quarter before garbage time started. I believe they're going to lose this Sunday to Kansas City. The four mm-hmm. teams in the AFC that matter are New England, Houston, Baltimore, and Kansas City. If you're 0-3 against those other three, I think it's hard to make a credible case that you're going to make your fourth straight Super Bowl.
Okay, so what is it then? All right, you're talking about the Brady's inability to be able to bring out the best this season or to ascend to a level that will
sure.
that will compensate for what you see to be some growing insufficiencies on the defense. Fine. Now, what is it, though, that your walrus and mustache and savior, Andy Reid, is able to do with his receivers like a Mecole Hardman? Okay, we have N'Keal Harry. Mm-hmm. Everyone here is in the middle of a bitch storm because they can't get this first-round receiver talent to live up to the expectations of a first-round receiver talent. You guys take Hardman, second round, out of Georgia, and now all of a sudden everyone is saying, oh, Andy Reid, he's such a genius. Look what he's getting out of Mecole Hardman. Does he simplify the offense for these guys, or does he just find a way to take the one thing they do and continue to do it well?
So that, I think, is a great question, and I think a really smart, nuanced point to get into, because also, or how about DK Metcalf, a rookie taken after N'Keal Harry, who has really helped the Seattle Seahawks and Russell Wilson this year. I think there's a reason Belichick had not drafted a receiver in the first round his entire time in New England until right now, which is, I think, what in other offenses you can tell these great athletes, hey, man, run in a straight line and we'll see if our quarterback can get it to you. That the Patriots need timing and precision. It's why Antonio Brown was I don't think AB is the best receiver in football, but I think he was the best receiver the Patriots possibly could have added because he does give you the deep threat, but he also is great on the choice routes, the option routes, the timing routes, things like that. I think at this point, Brady needs a receiver who is seasoned enough to be exactly where he expects him to be. And so the raw athleticism and talent of a young receiver can't be fully realized. Like, I don't think Mecole Hardman would be very good for you guys. He would be Philip Dorsett, right? And Philip Dorsett's fine, but he does one thing really well, run in a straight line super fast. And if your offensive line can't hold up and your quarterback can't get it to him, what good does that do for you?
So the Brady-Edelman tandem has never lost at Gillette Stadium.
Versus an AFC team.
Oh, I see this. I see this stat going around, too. 42-0, right?
You believe that Sunday is the exception, correct?
Yeah, I do, obviously. I've said on television all week. I said 5 weeks ago the Patriots are about to lose 3 out of 5. They're going to lose to Baltimore, to Kansas City, and one of the three in the middle. I'm halfway home on that. I said earlier this week I put my money on it. Yes, I think they are going to lose. I think it should be noted that even pre-Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid and the Chiefs have presented some problems for the New England Patriots. The game where Trent Dilfer said it's over for Tom Brady 5 years ago or 6 years ago on Monday Night Football was against who? The Chiefs. If I'm not mistaken, you guys are 106-1, which is the most wild stat I've ever seen since Brady's taken over, at home when a lead when you're at home with a lead at the half.
Correct.
The one was the opening game to Alex Smith and Andy Reid in 2017, and there was almost a two in Week 6 last year when the Chiefs were down, 14-6 at the half, and then took a lead in the fourth quarter. I also think that as great as this Pats defense has been, not just this year but last year, the only team that Patrick Mahomes has higher passer rating against than the Patriots with at least two games played is the Raiders, who he's just lit up. And I don't think you guys are going to shut out Mahomes in the first half the way you did in Week 6 and in the AFC Championship game, when in both those games in the second half they hung 31 on you. And so, listen, I truly believe, and now I've been wrong on this before, admittedly, but I think that we have, at this point, overwhelming evidence and, for the first time, a surplus of quotes from Tom that say he recognizes it as well. Now, whether he thinks it's his fault or the team's fault for not giving us enough weapons, that this Patriot team, the offense, its passing game most notably, is in real, real trouble.
Nick, before you go, a texter wants me to ask if you were dumped in college by a Boston girl, or a Boston girl cheated on you, where did the hatred?
So let me answer this, because I get this question a lot, right? So here's the deal: I have nothing against the city of Boston itself. My parents actually met in the city of Boston, okay, going to school there. So I got nothing against Boston. Celtic fans have an amazing arrogance, considering they've won one title in 30 years. I mean, just a wild level of arrogance. And Celtic fans decided I hated them, because I didn't hate them. I had no beef with Celtic fans. And then Kyrie Irving holds his little engagement ceremony, and I go on TV and I say I don't believe him. And I'm told all year long what a jerk and what a liar I am. And then, of course, I was 100% correct. And I also have, admittedly, in two consecutive postseasons, predicted the Chiefs would beat the Patriots. 2 years ago, they didn't even get to play them. And last year, you guys beat them. And so, and I think I showed up in that Tom vs. Time documentary thing, probably doubting Brady then. So for all those things, people think I hate the city of Boston. Brady's the greatest football player to ever live, and Belichick's the greatest football coach to ever live. And Belichick will keep this thing going in some fashion. I just don't think you can ask a 42-year-old to do what I think Patriot fans think they're going to do. And I know you have to go, but just one note to the Celtic fans out there.
Yeah.
I am, as much as I love Giannis, I am rooting for you guys so hard this year. I so desperately want you to keep this going, because nothing would be more delicious and beautiful than if the Celtics finally break through and make it back to the NBA Finals, only to have LeBron sweep their asses out of here. That would be so great.
Awesome. Nick.
So, and it's going to hurt so much this Sunday when the Patriots beat you without a kicker.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see. Thanks, you guys.
All right, Nick, thank you. That's Nick Wright. And AB is back on Twitter.
Oh, tweeting up a storm.
Oh, my God. He's going crazy.
You're kidding. He just tweeted, actually. We get to the rest of the tweets. He just tweeted, hang up on this douchebag, Greg.
Yes. We'll get to some tweets before we go next. Well, whenever we're going to talk about Antonio Brown and the Twitter machine, Dale, we have to talk about the law winning, or at least fighting the law, I guess. But he's on a Twitter frenzy right now, AB.
I think he's come to the realization for about the 55th time that this probably isn't going to happen for him. and then Drew Rosenhaus go, really? Just give me the phone. Just give me the phone. And then he'll back away, and then he'll say, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I had the sads.
So he's been tweeting like crazy?
Yeah, he's tweeted. Danielle, do you have it in front of you?
I do, yes. 12 minutes ago, we've got comeback greater than the setback.
Okay, comeback greater than the setback.
And then just after, on the heels of that, call God, # stay by the phone.
Okay, all right. He's staying. Is that him? Is he God? Or is he calling God?
He's calling God.
Who's staying by the phone?
One of my favorite Twitter sites of all time is Tweet of God.
Oh, my God, so good.
Oh,
so good.
I don't know who writes this thing.
Yeah.
Well, yes, I do. I mean, it says right on the Twitter handle who it is.
Yeah.
No wonder it's so funny. I mean, it's divine humor.
The G-Man.
So, tweet of God, he may respond to Antonio here and say, Tom, don't call.
Yeah,
call somebody else.
Yeah, call somebody else,
leave
please.
Me out of this.
So, listen, compelling stuff with Tommy Curran yesterday. And I don't know, do you think that that short of a miracle that this is over? And
I think that we've passed the miracle stage.
Okay.
We'll be talking about this as we kick things off in a few minutes. I am of the opinion you were watching the final four regular season games of the Tom Brady era and however long the playoff run lasts. And, it was a hell of a run.
It was, yeah.
But I think the run is over.
That's it.
Oh. Now the question is, does he, ride off to Costa Rica with Giselle, or does he, want to go play somewhere else?
It's Costa Rica, Dale.
Oh, Costa Rica. Yeah. I apologize. What is Wiggy in here? Wiggy around? So we're going to talk about that. Peter King's going to join us. We'll get his opinion on possible destinations for Tom Brady, assuming that he's leaving here, and I think he's gone.
Costa Rica.
Costa Rica.
I'm going to be sick. I'm going to be sick.
I know.
So you're going to be sick, so let's get Nick Wright on to beat me with a whip. What are you thinking?
What are you talking about? That was a pretty fair-minded duel right there. I didn't let him serve me my lunch.
He is obnoxious and annoying, but he does know his stuff. I have to. What do you think about Sunday?
I think there's a chance they're going to lose again.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
It's going to be a tight one. Don't go into this with that. You can look at this as a we're on to Cincinnati game, but don't enter it with the kind of confidence knowing that that game happened 5 years ago, because this is going to, that's a much better team that they're facing. And no matter how much energy and how much scheming that they have, this is a great offense they're up against.
Now, the good news is it's also not a great defense that they're up against because they're not. They're not that
They're okay-ish.
Okay-ish.
Okay-ish. They're okay-ish.
That's a Texans technical had a football term, please.
All right, Dale, but at the same time, the Texans had a legitimately kind of garbage defense, and it took till the fourth quarter in garbage time until the Pats offense got on track. The thing that the Patriots have going for them Sunday, Greg, is Kansas City has no running attack. None. And so you can't use backs to stress the linebackers the way that the Texans did. So it's going to have to be a downfield game. That's the strength of the Patriots, D.
All right.
That's what we're going to do. And we're going to listen in tomorrow to see who you put on to troll Patriots fans for tomorrow's program.
Are you the audience now all of a sudden?
No, apparently Ken and Chris have now taken over the entire programming of the show now.
Thank you.
So, I mean, they're done trolling you. Now they've got guest trollers
They try to sit on my face like obnoxious varsity seniors, and I'm a freshman footballer every damn day.
Get your fantasies out of this.
What are you talking about?
They treat me like I'm a female trainer, and they're Peyton Manning at Tennessee.
That went from zero to disgusting in about 2 seconds.
Have you missed our show today, Dale?
On that note, we got to get out of here. If you missed anything this morning, you can hear it using the new Rewind feature on our app, and you can download our app by texting APP to 37937 at any time. Dale and Keith is next. We'll be back tomorrow morning.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.